very much. I'm going to have to get to hear your shirk also at some point. They had five shirim at the same time, so it really wasn't fair to any of us. There were enough people to go around, but it wasn't fair to any of the presenters that we didn't get to hear each other. Yes, I hope that this shir is a zchus for both for the neshama and for the chola. But not only the shir itself, but hopefully if we pick something up from this shir, if we get something from it, then hopefully if we daven a little bit better, that too can be something that can be bezchus both of them. The goal of this is really more of a workshop than a shir. The goal of this workshop is a fairly simple thing, to try to get a little better at what we do every single day when we daven. We spend a lot of time doing it, and we don't often maximize that opportunity. There's a famous joke about some woman who goes to the Far East. She has to see this particular head of an ashram, and you probably heard the joke, and she comes, she says she needs to go and see this person. She traveled all the way from New York to come see this person. They said, no, he's in the middle of a month-long meditation. There's no way anybody could interrupt her. So I came all the way from New York, there's people. I came all the way to India. So she comes to meet this fellow, and they said, no, absolutely not. And she keeps kvetching and kvetching. Finally, she gets permission to just see him. Just stand at the door, you could see this person. So she stands at the door, she sees him, and she says, I just need to have a quick word with him. Hey, it's the middle of his meditation, he's still got 2 weeks to go, you're going to ruin the whole thing, right? So he says, just give me 4 words. I just have to speak to the head of the ashram. So she goes in, she leans over, and she whispers into his ear, Moishi, please come home. And I tell that not because it's particularly funny, but because it's very true that we're looking in many of our lives for moments of inspiration and moments of spirituality. We're really looking for that. We all get busy with a lot of things, and we don't have that many of those moments, those times. And the goal tonight is to try to help us use whatever time we already carve out for tefillah, whatever time that is, even if that's just once a week, whenever we're able to make that time count. And that would be the goal tonight. I'm going to try to share with you some interesting things that I've seen, some things that I try to do myself. And my goal would be if you pick up one thing from tonight. When I'm done, I'll give you out a summary. If I give it now, you'll just look at it the whole time. But when I'm done, I'll give out a summary of these ideas. And there are more ideas, and there are more people with ideas. But the idea is to pick one of these things, and to try to make it more meaningful. If you look on the source sheet in front of you, you have the comment of the Kuzari, right? Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes on the front of the source sheet. He writes, "Bederech zu tihyeh sha'at ha'tfilah lechassid, the moment, the time of tefillah for a chassid, ki garin hazman upiryo." That for the chassid, this person who's doing their thing right, the time of davening, when we get to davening, specifically Shmoneh Esrei, that's supposed to be the best part of the day. That's, I know that sounds a little funny. That's supposed to be the fruit of my day. I'm supposed to look forward. Oh my God, I'm almost at davening. I'm almost at 5 minutes till davening. Now I'm davening. Oh, Psukei Dezimra is taking so long. I can't wait to get to Shmoneh Esrei. That's what he writes. Ushar hasha'ot tihiyena lo kidrachim hamolichot el sha'azu. And the rest of the day is just how many hours I have till mincha. How many hours till I get to go and daven ma'ariv. How many hours till tomorrow, till Shabbos morning, whatever it is I'm going to daven. That's what he says. Shilavo'ah hu mitzapeh ki al yadah hu midameh el ha'atzamim haruchniyim u'mitrachek min ha'behemiyim. At that time, I am not physical. At that time, I'm not a behemoth. I'm not an animal anymore. I'm like a malach during that time. I just can't wait to go there again. It's my time. And he writes, and that's what Shabbos is supposed to be for the week. Davening is supposed to be to the day what Shabbos is to the week. It's supposed to be something I'm preparing for, I'm looking forward to, and I think we feel this about Shabbos, I couldn't make it without it. I think we feel that about Shabbos. We don't really know how we'd get through week after week after week if we never had a Shabbos. This is what he says about the day. My day is going downhill, downhill, downhill. Ugh, finally I got the shul. So how do we get there? How do we do that? And what in the world is he talking about? So the first thing I would suggest is to try to enjoy. I know this sounds very strange. To enjoy the time that we're davening. It's a very strange concept because we think of it as work. It's like an avoda. I've come here to do something for HaKadosh Baruch. You know what? Do something for yourselves also. Enjoy the time that you set aside for davening. If you're setting aside 5 minutes, whatever it is, if you're setting aside 2 hours, that is your time. Rav Pinkus writes that the key to getting something out of tefillah is latet lo zman upnai kiroi, to set out enough time for it. Which means, by the way, to try to get here for a certain amount of time. To try to carve out a certain amount of time. If I have to rush through all my davening, I'm not going to be able to get anywhere. I'm not going to be able to do anything. But much more than that, it means to enjoy the time that you have alone. When you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, nobody should have a piece of you. Nobody should be able to talk to you. Did you ever try to relish that? You know how nice it is when nobody wants to talk to you? When nothing rings? When nobody has to be responded to? You know, it's sort of like my 4-year-old is beginning to learn now that Shmoneh Esrei time, whether it's Abba or whether it's Mommy, whoever's davening, that sort of time where they're not going to respond to you. He doesn't quite have it yet. He's still at that point where he's trying to be louder and louder and louder until he finally gets your attention. But that concept, that I'm alone now. I'm alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did you ever think of Shmoneh Esrei as meditation? I'm not talking about deep meditation. I don't know how to do that stuff. And there is that stuff. But I'm just talking about feeling a sense of relaxation. Getting a sense of your body when you daven. How tense exactly are your shoulders? You know what I do? I am a rabbi type, so I have to daven with a shtender. So I used to hold on. I realized I was holding so much tension in by doing this. Right? Drop your shoulders and just do this. Or hold the sitter, but hold it in a way that you're just relaxed for a couple of minutes. You're just standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is a lot. It's a big deal to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to be where you are, not to be here. So that's the first thing I would suggest, is make it your time. Make it your time. Enjoy it. Look forward to it, like the Sefer HaKuzari says. That's the time when everything stops for a couple of minutes. And just enjoy that. I find personally, I enjoy it more when I read out of a sitter. I actually enjoy the time more when I'm reading out of the sitter than saying it by heart. I might get more kavana out of it by not looking around me, but I find it very relaxing to read from the sitter, not to have to remember any words, not to have to worry about really wandering off into other topics and other things. Just stand there and read the words. I know this sounds like a very simple thing, but we rarely look forward to that time. And that's the first thing I would suggest. Make time for tefillah. Let it be your time. Shmoneh Esrei, nobody's going to bother you for a few minutes a day. That's it. And enjoy that time, like the Sefer HaKuzari says. That's number one. Number two. If we want to get more out of the time we're davening, we have to put in time outside of when we're davening. If we're trying to learn about davening while we're davening, then it's not going to work. But it means to take time to study tefillah and to understand what we're doing outside of the time that we're davening. Do we have any idea what the words of davening mean? How many times have we been stuck somewhere? Have we been stuck in traffic? Have we been stuck sitting somewhere on a bus? Have we been stuck sitting where? Did we ever think of taking out our sitter and just looking what the words mean? Everybody here is probably very educated. I'm sure that you don't know, just like I don't, what every single word of the Shmoneh Esrei, forget about everything else, what the Shmoneh Esrei means. It's going to be very hard to make it meaningful if we don't know what those words mean, if we don't know what temager means. If we don't know what words like that mean, it's going to be tough for us to have it be meaningful. The Siddur is a treasure. The Siddur is a book we don't take time to sit and read. Just figure out what the words mean. More than that, try to figure out what the brachos are driving at. You know, in the Art Scroll Siddur, they have on the top of each of the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei what the bracha is driving at. at least could we be thinking during the bracha about what in the world that bracha is about. Forget about the words now. Forget about knowing every single word. Forget about focusing on every single word. We're going to space out. Wouldn't it be nice if we spaced out about the subject of the bracha? If you use an art school sitter, and the new Korens have that also, they have one or two words over each thing, each bracha of Shmona Esrei. Just take a sec. It'll take us 2 seconds per bracha. Talking about 30 seconds per Shmona Esrei. Look at that, and as we'll speak about, try to figure out, try to at least be thinking about that thing during the bracha, whatever that theme is. And by the way, it's not so easy to know. What is the bracha of Goel Yisrael about? Right, Goel Yisrael. We say it all the time. Goel Yisrael. Why is Goel Yisrael in the middle of the first half of Shmona Esrei? You ever wonder that? The first half of the brachos in Shmona Esrei are personal things. And the second half talks about Mashiach and all that kind of stuff like that. So why is Goel Yisrael in the first half? It's because it's not talking about Geula like Geula Shlema. It's talking about the regular stuff that goes on every single day that we hope to get out of. Why is Sim Shalom at the end? What is that? Is that a request? If it's a request, why is it the last three? I thought I'm not allowed to request anything in the last three. What is that? This basic stuff about the Shmona Esrei, it's just chaval because we say it so many times. We spend so much time saying it. It's worthwhile to learn. And this is not, I'm not talking about very, very detailed. Very often when we go to a shir on tefillah, it's Be'er Tefillah, where we try to figure out very long ideas about particular phrases and davening. Forget about that for now, although that's beautiful stuff. Just what is each bracha driving at? Can you think of one thing that each bracha is driving at in your life, or one thing you're looking for with that bracha? I mean, we could do it for money, we could do it for refuah shleima, but what else? And why were the brachas put in this order? They were put in a particular order, right? Why were they put in this particular order? Why do we go from one thing to the next? Why are these things first? Why are these things next? How do they build up? Again, this is not like a Dvar Torah about a particular bracha and Shmona Esrei. It's just trying to know what in the world I'm trying to do as I go through these. Okay? So that's Bigadol, that's step number two. So step number one is the crazy idea. When I gave the shiur at the conference this week, people were very shocked by the first idea, that they should enjoy the time they're davening. So that's number one, that we should enjoy it. We should try to just relax a little bit. Enjoy a few minutes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second is to spend a little time to do our homework. You can't do it during davening. If you try to learn about davening during davening, then it just messes you up. You can't do anything. But it's not that hard to spend a little bit of time. It's also a wonderful thing, by the way, to do at the table. It's a wonderful thing to do at a Shabbos table, because nobody really knows this stuff. So whoever's at the table, you're going to surprise them. Nobody really knows. If you do a few minutes of research before you're at the Shabbos table, you can have a discussion about that bracha. But let's go one step further. The next step is to not just know the words, but to actually mean the words. Right? To mean the words. How do we make the words meaningful? Now, this I find that women are much better at than men. So this may be simple for all of you. For men, this is a big idea, because men are very into shaking when they're davening, which has a purpose. There is a whole idea behind shuckling and all this kind of stuff like that. But it's very difficult to do that and to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of the best Shmona Esreis I ever davened were at gas stations. I'll tell you what, I don't particularly recommend this. When I used to do NCSY as a kid, so I used to drive up and down the turnpike, and I drive up down the parkway in Jersey, and I'd inevitably get caught without a minion around mincha time. So what did you do then? There were no cell phones then. It was like the Middle Ages. There were no cell phones. So what do you do if... what do you do? You're driving at that point. So you go into a phone booth. Okay, you go into a phone. You don't want to look like a complete idiot. You're going to stand at the car somewhere in southern Jersey, and you're going to be shaking next to your car. So you don't want to do that. So you get out of your car, and you go in the phone booth. And it's fairly simple. You take 3 steps into the phone booth, you pick up the phone, you dial a number, You have a whole conversation, you put it down, and you take three steps back. And you don't, the main reason is not to look like an idiot, which is a value in and of itself. But what I found was that I had some of the best Shmona Esrei, which again, I can't recommend from a halachic perspective that that's a good place to daven. But what was it? It was just a conversation. It was just a conversation. It was kind of stripping away from the davening, all of the motions and all of the sing-song and stuff like that. And for some people, it really works. But I find that for a lot of people, the best way is to break it down and just make it a simple conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just imagine that he's on the other end of a telephone line. And again, that's a little different than the way a lot of people daven. I think more people are starting to daven that way today. I'm seeing more and more people who are doing less of the shaking, which is fine and has a reason, and more of the just trying to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I say these words, do I use the kind of tone of voice that I would use if I were really saying it to make a point? Or is it just sort of a sing-song kind of a thing? It's going to affect it a lot, depending on how I say those words. Of course, I have to know what the words basically mean. But once I know basically what the words mean, can try that. The main part of the shiur is really to discuss what we call relating to the words. And I think here's where a lot of us really get stuck. Okay? If you look at the source sheet on the front page, you have an interesting piece from Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz. He has a two-volume set called Hasidur V'Hatfilah. And here's where a lot of us get stuck. Because even if we can, once in a while, we have something that we feel like praying about, most of the stuff that we pray about is not really what we have in mind. Most of the stuff that's in the Siddur, let's face it, is not exactly what we're thinking at the time. What he says is, Lamala midarga zu shel kavona yesh darga acheres, hakavona bederech shel hizdahut. Okay, what is hizdahut? That I relate to it. I relate to it, right? Shlav zehu me'ever midargash o kriya v'havana. This is more than just reading and understanding the words. L'matzav shebo ha-mitpalel achein mizdaheh im ha-tfilot shehu mitpalel. When actually, it's an amazing thing, it rarely happens. Have you ever actually been saying a tefillah and it said it better than you could say it? Rarely. At least we feel that way, right? It's kind of like finding that perfect card, where the card said it so much better than I could have said it myself. It's exactly what I would have said. That's what Rav Steinsaltz writes. That's the highest level of kavana. Because when the words are what you really want to say anyway, it works out pretty well. Sometimes at the end of Ne'ilah, I'll feel that way. Right? Sometimes at the end of Ne'ilah, the words that I'm saying are really the words that I would want to say. And I'm so happy that they're there. But usually, the words that are in the Shemona Esrei are not exactly what I'm thinking about. It's an average morning. It's in my shul. It's 10 to 7 in the morning. We daven at 6:20, 6:30. It's 10 to 7 in the morning. I'm davening Shemona Esrei. I'm worrying about all the things that happened. My kid woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning throwing up. And I'm worrying about all the stuff that I have to do that day. And then we get up to the bracha of Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat. And to be honest, I'm not thinking about Tzedaka U'Mishpat right now. I'm not thinking about restoration of judges at 10 to 7 in the morning. I'm thinking about where I'm going right after Minyan and what I need. And what I need for good things. Well, what I need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just not thinking restoration of judges. It's not where I'm holding. I know there are enemies out there, but it's not. It's just not on my radar this morning. I have too much stuff in my own life to worry about what's going on somewhere else. So the problem is, what happens when I don't have that hizdahut? He writes that you can get there, right? He says, "Hatfilah shebesidur eina me'ata od text chitzoni." It's not an outside book. Ella hi mehave bitui shel techusha v'chavaya pnimit. Now it suddenly expresses what I really wanted to say anyway. Right? Regesh halev shel hamitpalel melaveh et hadvarim haktuvim basidur. It's a beautiful piece here. He says it's like that song that you hear. You ever hear, he says, that's what he writes in the Siddur. You ever hear a song on the radio? This is the radio, I don't know. He says, you ever hear a song on the radio? And you just feel like that really is saying what I'm feeling right now. That's how you make tefillah work. The question is how to do it with this text that's put in front of us. Because the text doesn't really feel like what I would say right now. So I want to suggest four different things that we can do to try to make the text come alive. And I think that, I know for myself, this really helps with many of the brachos of Shemona Esrei. Number one. And I'm going to go in order of difficulty. Okay? And difficulty in you believing me, and difficulty in terms of doing this. Okay? Number one. The first thing is, if the text has nothing to do with me, then say your own stuff. That's number one. Level number one is to give up. To say, you're right, this text is not really about me today. It's about some better person on some better day and some calmer life. It's not really about me. But what is about me, I'm going to put that into the Shemona Esrei. You know what Rabbi Steinsaltz says the worst thing is? The most chaval thing is? When we're so worried about something, it's never happened. You're worried about something, you can't daven. You really can't daven. I mean, you try to daven, because we never don't daven, because then we feel guilty. So we try to daven, but we're really thinking about something else. So Steinsaltz says, you know what's really silly? That we usually don't even pray for that thing either. That's a waste. At least, that one thing that's bothering us so much that we can't daven, that we should daven about. So forget the rest of Shemona Esrei. But at least that one thing should be the focus of our tefillah, and that might be worth the whole thing. Because actually part of the tefillah will have been worthwhile. But we usually don't get that either. We get so distracted that we don't ask for what's really on our mind. So the first suggestion is to use the parts in tefillah to add our own stuff. Now, very often we do this for cholin. Right? Very often we have a whole list in our siddur of cholin that we're davening for. That's part one. But it's very interesting to spend a few moments in Shemona Esrei thinking about what else we need. Stopping. Especially at chakras. Chakras is the time, it's a larger subject of the difference of chakras and mincha and meir. Chakras is the time, we have the whole day in front of us. We're trying to involve God in that day. Where do I need His help today? And whether you add it in Shomea Tefillah, or whether you add it after Yehula Ratzon, before Elokai Netzor, use that spot, stop, before you take the three steps back, stop and say, what do I need today? It makes a big difference when I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture. Whatever it is that's gone, but it's going to take a few seconds. You're going to have to stop and actually think. You're not going to get to do it beforehand. You're not going to get to write it down beforehand. Maybe before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you could do such a thing. On a normal day, you're not going to get to write down what you need. But stop for a second. What's happening in the next 12 hours from chakras and on? And ask Him for it. Ask Him for it in your own words. Again, this is level one. Level one says, forget about the rest of the words. Maybe the rest of the words are not going to speak to me today. Maybe I'm not going to relate to the Shemona Esrei. But at least let certain parts of it relate to me. Let certain parts of it work. I try to do that at chakras. I try to think out my day. I don't have the guts to take out my BlackBerry because then everybody will think I'm just typing emails during the thing. But that's what I really am trying to do in my head. What is on my schedule today? What do I need His help for? And what are the things that are most important for me? And am I davening for them? So that's, I think, the first way to make the tefillah real for us is to say it in our own words. Say it in English. Whatever it is. And again, that process of thinking about what's coming today and asking God for it is very, very powerful. By the way, it also generally makes me feel a lot better about those things. Because I know I'm not alone. Whatever those things are going on during the day, I know that I've involved the Kadosh Baruch Hu in it in some way. It really takes off a certain amount of the pressure. And by the way, that goes to the enjoying the time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sense that, you know, this is everything I need today. And I know you're there to help me. So that's the first way to get to His Dahut, to make it real. Number two, if in fact, beyond adding my needs to the Shemona Esrei, and by the way, it's always appropriate to add something. Okay, in the Siddur of Jonas and Eibschitz, he writes that if you don't have anything to add into the Shemona Esrei, you're not davening. It's not a real Shemoneh Esrei unless you feel there's something that you could add in there, because there's something relevant. Why are you not asking God for it? Number two, besides adding your needs to the Shemoneh Esrei, is to find your needs in the Shemoneh Esrei. And this goes back to looking at the headings of each of those brachos. As you get to each bracha, think for a second, what does this bracha have to do with me? Now again, it's easy to do with money, and it's easy to do with health. But think of something, another way to do it is, in Shemoneh Esrei, to think of something that relates to those two words. Think of something that I need to do tshuva for. And maybe I won't get every single word of the bracha, but while I'm in that bracha, I'm going to think about that thing, and then I'm going to go to the next heading, and I'm going to think about that thing again. So you'd be surprised how many things we can find in the need. Now, again, it's helpful to remember that Goel Yisrael is not about Mashiach, because otherwise it would be at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. It's about getting me out of, and getting Klal Yisrael out of stuff that we're in, problems that we're in. So think. You don't necessarily have to add the words if that's what you're thinking about at the time. Number three, and this is my favorite. If we go through the Shemoneh Esrei, I did this this morning myself. If we go through the Shemoneh Esrei, and the words don't say what we want to say, right? They're not saying what we want to say. I'm not thinking about restoration of judgment this morning. It's just not what I'm holding. The fact is like this. There are 13 middle brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? 13. How many of them would I have said this morning if it wasn't put in front of me? How many of them? 4, 5. I mean, if I had to just daven in my own words, how many of those 13 would I have picked out? Would I have designated 2 brachos, one for Yerushalayim and another one for Esemach David? Right? Would I have said a bracha about the tzaddikim? And what is that bracha anyway? Mishani Miftachta Tzaddikim. What am I davening for? What is all that stuff? You know, the first half of the stuff is stuff that I need and stuff I can relate to. Okay? The fact is, the first part of that is, I also think, is God's issues, right? God's issues. He wants me to learn more Torah or something, so that's why I have to say funny about that. And then he wants me to do tshuva, and then I say, this is really not my stuff. That's God's stuff, the first three. Then I finally get to 3 where I get to ask him for the stuff I want. Right? I ask him for a refuah shleima and for a good living and to get me out of all the tzaros. Good. And then I'm ready to go. I'm out of there. I'm done. I asked for all the stuff I need. I just can't wait to get the Shema Kolenu so I can ask for all the other stuff I need. And suddenly, there's this whole litany of brachos that have to do with the Geula Shlema. And again, at 10 to 7 in the morning, I'm not thinking about the Geula Shlema. One thing you might try to do is ask yourself, why? And to ask yourself, as I asked myself this morning when I was doing this, why don't I care about these things? Why would I have constructed the Shemoneh Esrei completely different than the way Chazal did? You know, there's a famous vort from Rav Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch says that we know that what's the root of the word lehit palel. Palel is to judge. Okay, so what am I judging during Shemoneh Esrei? Judge yourself, right? Hit pa'el is to judge, right? Is to do something to yourself. So hit pa'el is to judge yourself. What am I judging? So you might think I'm judging whether I deserve this stuff, which sounds very nice. But that's a trap. I'll explain in a second, right? You could think that I'm supposed to, as I'm going through these brachos, realize I need so much stuff from the Ribono Shel Olam, and I don't know if I'm really worthy for this. And isn't that a good exercise to go through every day to realize how much Chesed Hashem does for us, and are we really worthy? The Sefer HaIkarim of Yosef Alvo says that's very dangerous. Because the reality is that most of the stuff that I need, I already have. And if I won't pray for that, you ever have something that you weren't willing to pray for because it was like out of your league? I can't be worthy of that. Right? It's a very dangerous thing to say, because when I say I'm not going to pray because I don't deserve that, what are you in effect saying? Everything I've already got, I must deserve. Which is a very dangerous place to go, says the Sefer Ikarim. It sounds like modesty. I'm going to judge myself during Shmona Esrei to see if I really deserve it. But I'm saying that the stuff I already have, I must have deserved. It's a dangerous place to go. We don't know what we deserve. We don't know why Hashem gives us things. We're not supposed to be judging our worth during the Shmona Esrei. I'll tell you what I think we are judging. Our priorities. That's what we're judging with Shmona Esrei. Our priorities. Are these the 13 brachos, the middle brachos? Are these the 13 things that we care about? And if not, why not? Who's wrong? Are Chazal wrong or are we wrong? I mean, half the Shmona Esrei is about the national destiny of the Jewish people. Maybe that's more important than we think it is at 10 to 7. Maybe that's the point of going through this Shmona Esrei. That doesn't necessarily speak to me, because every time I say it, I get realigned. I realize that 50% of my wishes, 50% of my tefillos should be about Klal Yisrael and Mashiach. And only 25%, once you get rid of Da'as, and once you get rid of Slichu Mechila, only 25% of my interest, and my tefillos, and my wishes should be directed at towards my stuff, the stuff that I need. It's a powerful way of going through Shmona Esrei. The less we get, the less we relate to Shmona Esrei, the better it is. Or the more powerful the experience is. Because why aren't these the things that I want? Right there, but this is a klali thing, because there are many times where we aren't sure if we see eye to eye with Chazal, or we see eye to eye with a particular mitzvah in the Torah, and we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to make the thing in the Torah fit into our worldview. Maybe our worldview is wrong if the Torah is saying something else. So that would be suggestion number three here. Number one, again, if the words don't speak to me, first is forget about the words. Say your own words. Feel free to use your own words wherever you're going to use them. And use that to think out what's going on. Number two, find your needs in those words. At least in the two words at the top. Find your needs there. Number three, if they're not our words, so why aren't they our words? And what do we have to... What could we remind ourselves about every single day if we run through that order? How fascinating it would be if every day we sort of checked our priorities with the priorities as set up in the Shmona Esrei. The Maharal has a very interesting point in his Shar HaVoda. The Maharal says an amazing, the Nesiv HaVoda, sorry, Nesiv HaSolim. The Maharal says a very interesting thing. It seems that, we all know there's such a thing called Shar HaLicha. Right, you always make a joke. Oh, you got a lot of schar halich. Oh, snowing. Oh, you got a lot of schar halich. Okay, so what the Maharal points out is very interesting, is that schar halich has nothing to do with where your home is, just how far you walk. So let's say there was someone who lived near another shul, which is also a very nice shul, and they lived next door to that shul. And instead of going to that shul, they walked across town to come to this shul. So the Maharal says they get all the schar halicha for coming here. Even though the two shuls are exactly the same, the davening experience is the same thing. So what's the sense in that? The Maharal says, you know why you're supposed to walk to shul? Because you're supposed to walk away from your own personal point of view and your own personal needs. The further you walk, I'm not trying to change anyone's preference in shuls, the further you walk on Shabbos, the further you symbolically walk away from your point of view to where the tefillos are trying to get you. And that's this very same idea. So use the fact that the tefillos don't speak to you, don't speak to me. Use that as a constant reminder of what we're supposed to be thinking about. And finally, number four is just a really powerful idea on the second side of the source sheet. The last way, I think, to try to make the words speak to us is to consider the possibility that even though I don't think I want this stuff, I don't think I care about this at 10 to 7 in the morning. I don't think I care about this when I'm standing in the corner of my house and everybody's screaming and I'm trying to daven Shmoneh Esrei. I don't think so. Is it possible that the real me does want those things? Is it possible that actually what I'm saying is what something deep down really wants to say? It's a beautiful, beautiful piece from Rav Kook in the introduction that's printed in the introduction to the Olat Riyah, to his Siddur. So he says, if you look on the second side, he says, HaTfilah HaMatmedet Shel HaNeshama, the constant tefillah of the neshama. Rav Kook says that the neshama is always davening. We are always doing stuff. And 5 minutes of a day, we're davening. The neshama, always davening. Shel HaNeshama mitametzet hi tamid latzeit min ahelem el hagalui. It's trying, it's almost as if it's bursting out of us. Our neshama are the real us. The real us. Right? The Rambam speaks of this in the Laws of Gerushin, of beating somebody up till the real person comes out. There's a real person inside of us. It's hard to relate to that person because life gets in the way and our character traits get in the way and lots of other things get in the way. But deep down, we're actually better than we sometimes play out on a day-to-day basis. And Rav Kook says that the neshama is always davening. Lihitpashet al kol kochot hachayim shel kol haruach banefesh v'kol kochot chayei hagviya kula. V'hi mishtokeket gam kein legalot et mahuta v'koach pu'ulata al kol hasviva. It wants its wishes to just burst out and take over all of its surroundings. And he says in Bet, Ein hatfila ba'a ketikuna. You're not really davening. You're not davening properly. Ki imitocha machshava, unless you realize shebe'emet haneshama hi tamid mitpalelet. The neshama is always davening. For a few minutes a day, we let it talk. We let it out. Daven from here. I know the neshama is not here, but daven from here and realize that when I'm davening and the words don't sound like what I want, I'm tapping into something much deeper about myself. I'm tapping into a side of myself. It's not that I'm really judging myself. It's not that these are things that I don't want and I have to move over to them. No. This really is what I want. I just forgot. I just got caught up in everything else. I just got caught up in life. It's sort of like what happens on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When we sort of come back, tshuva is to come back to the real us. Right? Which one is the real us? Is the real us the person on Yom Kippur? Is the real us the person for the rest of the year? The real me doesn't fast all day and doesn't stay in shul all day, but on some level, it does. On some level, that's the real me. That's the one day I can finally be myself. Yom Kippur. And davening is in a sense the one time I can really be myself. And it goes back to where we started. This idea of carving out the time for davening. Whatever I've done until I start davening doesn't matter. Wherever I've been, whatever I got caught up in, I have 5 minutes now. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to go back to what's really important. And if right now I'm not thinking about Yerushalayim, I'm going to go back to a time when I was in Yerushalayim and I felt that way. And if right now I'm too busy with my particular things to worry about Klal Yisrael, I'm going to reach deep down. Because you know that deep down we really do care about that stuff. We just don't have time to think about it. And that's what those few minutes of tefillah are supposed to be. The pre-hayom, the best time of the day. I'll conclude with one more very interesting idea. And this is in a sefer called Ha'aras HaTfila. Ha'aras HaTfila, in one of his introductions, this is a contemporary speaker and writer in Eretz Yisrael. So he deals with the following thing. So let's say, you know, I'm all set up. I carved out my time. I got my time with Ribono Shel Olam. I know what the words mean. I actually relate to this. This is actually what I want to say. The final challenge, he says, is to realize that it's all this stuff that I need, And then to remember there's all this stuff Klal Yisrael needs, and then to remember there's all this stuff that we need, and ultimately, and then suddenly, you know why we don't daven on Shabbos, why we don't say the 13 brachos, is because it's just too depressing. Because if we actually took it seriously, it's just too depressing and too demanding. I need all this stuff. It's not that the words are too long. It's that I don't want to think about all this stuff, and I can't be happy at the same time I'm thinking about all the stuff that I need. Do you ever find Shmoneh Esrei to be downright depressing? So he says, how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that syndrome where I finally am davening well, and now the Shmoneh Esrei is the time. I finally realize that everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all wonderful, and I realize now I know what all the brachos mean, and I know how many needs we have, and now I just have this 5 minutes to talk about and remember all the stuff that I really need. So he says an amazing thing. An amazing thing. He says, have you ever been, I'm not going to read it inside now, but you can read it inside. He says, have you ever been on a plane? This is one of those things you can only do now. Have you ever been on a plane that was in a rainstorm? And you're in this storm, and it's terrible, and you were driving to the airport, and you got, he doesn't say this, but I'll embellish a little, but you're driving to the airport, and you get stuck in traffic, and all of a sudden, and you get on the plane, and it's still raining, and you're all afraid, should we really be flying in this kind of weather? And you get up there, and they do it anyway, and then you go into the clouds, and the clouds are really dark, and all this and that, and then suddenly, you get up above the clouds. You remember that moment? Have you ever done that? When you got just above the clouds, and you realize the sun is actually shining up there? And you suddenly see all those storms, they're all beneath you, and now you're up there in the clouds. And the storms don't look so terrible anymore. He says, try this when you start Shmoneh Esrei. This is the wildest thing I've ever seen, and it's very, very effective. Try this. The storm is the world around us. The storm is life. Life is complicated. And it's raining. And it's very difficult to see very far. Imagine that we pull away for a minute. Don't forget about the storm. When you're up there, you still see the storm beneath you. But you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Use those few moments to realize that the storm is still there, and it's still terrible, and there's still a lot of stuff you got to do right when you come down. But right now, I'm above the clouds with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And He's more real than what's down there, isn't He? Have we ever taken our problems and lifted them off our shoulders and just handed them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And just said, you know what, it's all down there, but you're over here. You can take care of it if you want. That feeling of being just with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything and everyone else aside, and just being there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that He can share in my problems, He can help me take care of my problems. Is anybody old enough to remember Mork and Mindy? Anybody? Okay, so at the end of Mork and Mindy, okay, this is when I could barely stay up late enough to watch Mork and Mindy, so I aged myself a little bit. But at the end of Mork and Mindy, it was this crazy show that Robin Williams came down, he was some alien, and he came down and he dropped into the world and all this. And at the end of every single episode of Mork and Mindy, it was just Mork had to report home. So he had the whole show and everything that happened, and then there was a commercial, and then right after that commercial, there was just Mork wearing some ridiculous outfit, a black screen behind him, and he was talking to this being back at home who had sent him down. That's what, in a strange way, that's what tefillah is. The whole 27 minutes are behind us at that point. Most of the sitcom, most of the show is over. And now I have just a couple of minutes, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's nobody else's business to get in there. And there are problems. And I don't forget about the problems because I need those problems to talk to Him. That's the subject of our conversation. I don't talk to Him about the weather. I talk to Him about the problems. But the problems are down there. They're beneath those clouds. They're beneath those clouds. They're somewhere else. And hopefully I feel not actually more stressed out, but actually a lot more relaxed. It's amazing how things can be put into perspective in 5 minutes of davening. It is amazing how by imagining that I'm taking these things and I'm now looking, just if the plain thing doesn't work for you, fine. Don't use the Mork and Mindy thing in your davening. But if the plain thing doesn't work for you, that's fine. But use it to put it into perspective. Relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going on. Talk to Him about it. realize that you're not alone on this. He's with you on this. He knows what's going on. It's probably supposed to be happening. And he has not abandoned you to do whatever this thing is. It is amazing how those things can be put into perspective when you lift above them for a second and you look down. It's amazing how many interpersonal issues can be put into perspective in the Shemoneh Esrei. When I say, what am I really so stressed out about? Is that really such a big deal? I'm looking back, as if I'm looking back in a day's perspective. Is this really going to be a big deal in a day? Is this really going to matter to me that much? That's what the pre-hayom is. That's what the Kuzari is talking about. It's talking about an experience which changes where we are. When we come back down from davening, we're in a better place. We're just more relaxed. We've had a few minutes to ourselves. We've had a few minutes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had a few minutes of thought. We had a few minutes of prioritizing. And it should change us. Not just like over the course of time, but it really should. A successful tefillah really can change us. Even if I didn't have the most kavana, or even if I didn't say anything extra special, just the experience. 5 minutes is something that really should change us. So I'm going to give this out as a little bit of a summary. The idea is to try to find something that works for me. Something that works for me now. Whenever I stand up to daven, to do that. So let's just go through this. We'll summarize it, but you'll have it in front of you in a minute. Again, number one, to make time for tefillah. To look forward to it. This is my time. No one's going to bother me now. To relax during that time. To look forward to tefillah, right? As I said, first of all, to make time to carve out the time. To make sure I have enough time to daven. Second is to look forward to it and to enjoy it. To use time in shul, to look through the siddur and to get to know the meaning of the words and to study tefillah beyond the words. I put those four things at the top. They're labeled things somewhat in our control. We should divide between things that are in our control and things that are not in our control. Leaving enough time for tefillah, depending on the kids, may be something that's in our control. Right? Enjoying tefillah by seeing. The top four things are things we probably can do. Making tefillah into a conversation is number two. Talking to God as if you'd talk to someone on the phone. If we don't feel that the words of the Amidah speak to us, add. Think about what the brachas have to do with me. Judge my wants and needs and realize that the requests of the Amidah are my true desires. Right? And finally, if we just can't free ourselves from the storm of our lives, you've got to try this one time. It is the best thing. None of these ideas are mine. So I can tell you, this is the really best idea that I saw. Really try this idea of being lifted up above the clouds for just a moment. It takes, I know you don't have time, you barely have time to daven, it takes 10 seconds. 10 seconds at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei to be able to make that kind of a difference. I thank you very much. I thank you for the opportunity to give the shiur, because every time I give the shiur, I remember something, and then I daven better for a couple of days. Again, I hope that the schus for the shum and the schus for the chol. Thank you very much.